Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is the fifth and final part of the series, Anxious for Nothing. What happened a number of months ago is I read through this book called Anxious for Nothing. I had no intention of sharing it with the congregation, but I found a number of things in there that touched on the topic of anxiety, how it tied also to the Bible, and I thought this is a time where maybe we need this particular topic, so I chose to share the sermons I have. I'm going to try to recap things today. I'll mention a couple things I mentioned before, but try to bring it together in such a way that we will have things that we can use in our lives on a regular basis in order to go forward and be anxious for nothing. That's the idea here. As we come to the topic, there are tools I believe that God is giving us, and yet have you ever tried to do a project and you just didn't have the right tool or the right tools, and it was so difficult to do it, and yet you're thinking, if only I had this tool or that tool, this would be so simple. God has given us the tools. They are primarily in Philippians 4, but they are in many other places in the Bible as well. So let's use them. As we approach the topic today, I'm coming from the perspective that we are already aware that we are sinners. God has worked sorrow within us. God has given us faith in Jesus. We are God's forgiven children, and now we're trying to figure out how to get through life between now and the end of our lives or the return of Jesus Christ, and we want to do so without anxiety. So these are some tips that I believe will help us as ones who are God's holy children in Christ. First of all, the Bible is telling us to rejoice always. Notice, so we are not to rejoice in all things, but at all times. In other words, there are things that happen in life. We're not to rejoice in those, but we are to rejoice at all times. See, so often, for many of us, maybe I'm talking for myself, but I'm always tied to my circumstances. So circumstances are good, I'm rejoicing. Circumstances are bad, I'm not rejoicing. Can anyone relate to that? Is anyone like that? What does the Bible say, though? The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. So even when the circumstances are bad, oh, wait a minute, I'm a forgiven child of God. God is with me. God is going to help me. God's going to provide for me. God's going to carry me through. So even though the circumstance isn't good, it's going to be okay. I can rejoice in the Lord. So we can rejoice at all times. Also, too, in this same section, the Bible is telling us to be kind to everyone. Isn't that a really hard thing? Like when people are so mean to us, should we be kind to them? We should be. And why is it that we should be kind to them? Think about it like this. Every time we sin, that is us being mean to God. But what does God do in return? Is he mean back to us? No. God is kind to us. God forgives us. God provides for us. Who are we? We are the forgiven children of God. So like Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, be imitators of God as beloved children. So because God responds to our meanness with kindness, that means that for everyone else in the whole world, when they are mean to us, God is calling us to respond with kindness. Can we do that in our own strength? No way. Are all things possible with God, through God, with his power? By all means. God wants us to be that way. And then we come to the topic of peace. So God is calling us to be at peace in all circumstances. Again, whether the circumstance is good or bad, God is saying there is peace. So why is that possible? We talked about this already in an earlier sermon, but let's keep in mind the Lord is near. As we think about that very important part there in Philippians 4, it says, the Lord is near, be anxious for nothing. So that's all tied together. It's a little bit difficult because we have a verse separation right there, The one is the end of verse 5. The second part is the beginning of verse 6. But keep that together. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. That is the reason why we can be anxious for nothing. Imagine this kind of a situation. Let's say you're driving in a place where you probably shouldn't be driving in the first place. You're in a bad part of town, and your car breaks down. And now you're going to have to walk. And you're very concerned because it's a rough part of town, and it's nighttime. However, though, traveling with you are four Navy SEALs, and they are fully equipped with everything. They are very well trained, and they have all of their weapons and their armor and everything. And now you get out of the car, and you have one in front of you, one behind you, one to your left, and one to your right. Is that going to give you a little bit of peace walking in that dangerous part of town with those Navy SEALs with you? Probably at least some measure of peace. Well, if that gives us some peace, how much more peace should we have knowing that God Almighty is with us? Let's keep that in mind. Let's know that though we can't see him, he is there because he has promised to be there. He wants us to grasp that promise and know it is true even when we cannot see it. What is faith? Faith is believing in what we cannot see. So the Lord is near. I want to give you four steps now on how we can make sure that we are grasping a hold of this peace that God wants us to have. First of all, God wants us to give our anxieties to him through prayer. So it's important when we do that to be specific. We talked about that again in a past sermon. So don't just in general say, Lord, I'm anxious, help me. But we should identify the exact reasons why we are anxious, and also the exact reasons why we are asking the Lord to help us. Also, too, I'm saying that we should do that one by one. So I have this piece of rope, and it's kind of a mess, and if I find, here's one end here, here's another end here, if I pull it really hard, do you think it'll fix it? It's not working. So what do we have to do when we have something all tangled up? We have to work on it, you know, one thing at a time. So we have to say, okay, here's a knot right here. I'm going to pull this loose. Oh, now when I do that, now it's freed up a little bit more. Oh, here's another one I can pull loose. Now it's a little bit better. But like one at a time is the only way to untangle something like that. Sometimes in life, I think, we can have multiple anxieties. And what God is saying to us, I believe, he's saying to us, untangle them. Identify each one of them, and then one by one, give them to me in a very specific way. Now, does that take a little bit of time? It does, but I believe it's a very beneficial thing for us to do. A lot of times in life, we're looking for some kind of a fast food type answer, a quick answer to our problems, and yet it's not always that way. God is saying, look at my word, notice what it says, take the time, put it into practice, and I will give you my peace. Also, too, it's important that we remember our blessings and give thanks to God. Why is that important? If I'm working on untangling my anxieties, that means I have to handle them in a sense. And that might be unpleasant. Maybe sometimes people at home, they take all the things they don't want to look at and they put them in a closet and they close the door. We can kind of do that with the things that we're anxious about. We don't want to see them. We don't want to think about them, but yet they're there. What does it require? We have to open the closet door. We have to handle them. And one by one, we have to give them to God. In the process, that can maybe increase our anxiety as we are now thinking about them, as we are handling them. So what is God saying to us? He is saying, as you're handling the anxieties, do so with thanksgiving. So as I'm focused on my problems, God is saying, at the same time, remember your blessings. Oh, I have all these problems, but I am forgiven in Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit who is helping me to understand the Bible. I have a job. I have good medical care. I have people who care about me and would come and help me if I needed it. We can identify all kinds of blessings, and God is saying, as we're taking the anxieties to Him, make sure we are giving Him thanks for the blessings that we have. Also, too, let's keep in mind regarding receiving God's peace, let us know that our level of peace is connected in with our level of trust. Now, for some people, they are, we might say, students of the Bible. So they want to dig into the Bible every day. They are praying the Bible back to God. They are coming to Bible class. They are doing all kinds of things to grow up in the Word of God. What is happening to such people? They are maturing in their faith. The more they mature in their faith, the greater their level of peace will be. But then we have other people, and they're like, oh, I know I'm a sinner, I believe in Jesus, and I just don't want to go any further than that. So maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe their level of faith maturity is maybe at a 1. So yes, they are in Christ, and when they die, they're going to heaven. But the problem with being at a 1 is that when difficulties come into their lives, now their level of peace is like at a 1. Because they just don't know what the Bible says. They don't know about all these amazing promises. They don't have the confidence in those promises, and therefore, they're struggling. God is saying, don't go through life like that, but rather know that it's important to mature in our faith, and if we could only get to a 10 on our faith, we would be at a 10 on our peace. Perfect faith, perfect peace. I don't think we'll reach it this side of heaven, but it's certainly something to move toward, to move in that direction. And then also, too, this is a part I have alluded to a little bit prior to this, but we're going to do it in a little bit more detail here. But it's so important to dwell only on good things. What does the Bible say about that? What are these good things? Here in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, it has this list. So it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or connected to a good reputation, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise. That's a lot of stuff. That takes us a lot of thinking, a lot of time to identify those different things. But why is this so critical for us to dwell only on good things? This is such an important part of it. That's going to replace our anxieties. So imagine having a container, and in that container is our anxieties. So what do? We grab those anxieties one by one and we give them to God, and we do so with thanksgiving. But now we have a gap in the container. And think about it maybe like being a vacuum cleaner. So there's like a sucking action. And if we don't put something else in there, like this list, what's going to happen? The anxieties are going to get sucked right back in. Have you ever had that happen where you were anxious about something, you gave it to God, and like a minute later you're thinking, I have those back again. I just gave them to God and now I have them back. It is so critical, again, to identify them, to give them with thanksgiving, and then to immediately fill that void with things on this list. It is so critical. If we don't follow those steps, it's just not going to work out very well. In the second and final part of the sermon today, I want to talk about how to be anxious for nothing. I want to give you 5 things to put into practice in your lives. So, first of all, let's understand that our thoughts have consequences. Now, think about someone who's an air traffic controller. So that person has a lot of power, a lot of authority. Think about how large planes are, and yet it's up to that air traffic controller to say which planes land and which planes take off. I want you to think about each of us being our own mental air traffic controllers. So if we're thinking about something, that means we have permitted that thought to come into our mind. And if a thought leaves, we have given that thought permission to leave. Now, much easier said than done, but I want you to know that we have control over that. No one is forcing those thoughts into us. We let them come, and we have to be careful because the Bible says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your lives. Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your lives. Like it says in Romans 12, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? We have to change what is in our mind. Think about the old computer statement, garbage in, garbage out. If we're putting a bunch of garbage into our minds, it's not going to work out very well. Do you want to be happy tomorrow? I think most of us do, so we need to do something today then. Let me give you a list of what you could do to be happy tomorrow. Today, you could take a little bit of time and count your blessings. Or you could say, I'm going to pick a Bible verse and I'm going to memorize it. If I have to say it 100 times, I'm going to memorize it. If your life depended upon it, you would do it. But let's understand, though, that even memorizing one Bible verse can be a super powerful thing. So, want happiness tomorrow? Memorize a Bible verse. Pray to God in a very serious way. Pick out a favorite hymn from the hymnal. Sing the hymn. Memorize the hymn. That would be a really powerful thing to do. Or spend some time, either in person or talking on the phone, with a friend who is very encouraging. Like when I see Heather up front here, I don't think I've ever seen Heather without a smile on her face. She is like a super encouraging lady. So spend some time with somebody like Heather. So when you do those kinds of things today, you're going to wake up tomorrow with a smile on your face because of what you did today. These are important things. Hey, do you want to be miserable tomorrow? I can tell you how to do that too. So you can wallow in your self-pity. Why did this happen to me? Why would God permit this? This is horrible. You know, you're focusing on all the negative things. Or you're assuming the worst. Oh, the doctor wants to see me about my test results? Maybe he wants to make me a poster child for someone who recovered from a disease. But oh no, you're thinking the worst. Oh, I must have a terminal illness and he's going to tell me I'm dying. So you can assume the worst, you could do that. You can beat yourself up. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that. And you can run that over and over in your mind, over and over again. Can you change it? You can't. You can seek forgiveness, you can apologize, you can do other positive things, but don't beat yourself up about it. Or you could complain to another complainer. When you get a couple complainers together, wow, that's quite a complaining session. When you do that kind of stuff, you're going to wake up the next day and it's not going to be the best situation. It's not going to be the best kind of a day. So we can control our thoughts, and when we have our thoughts focused in the right ways, that can make a huge difference. Now, we're not talking about salvation issues. We can have people who are in Christ, they can go through life in a positive way, and dying in Christ, and they go to heaven. We can have other people who are in Christ, and yet, they're kind of consumed by all this negativity, and yet they're still in Christ, they die and go to heaven, but between here and the end, life is kind of miserable. We don't want that. We want to be positive, we want to be radiating joy, and we want to be a blessing to others. That is possible, no matter what our circumstances are, that is possible. It's also important that we face God before we face our problems. Have you ever had a situation where you had a problem, you did everything you could to work it out, and finally you said, this is impossible, I can't do it, maybe I'll go to God in prayer. So prayer became a last resort instead of a first resort. I think that can happen to all of us, so it's important that we go to God first. I mean, think about it. We have a Heavenly Father who is almighty in power, who loves us with an everlasting love, who has the resources of the entire universe at his disposal. Why wouldn't we go to him first? That should be like a no-brainer, but I've fallen into that same trap as well. couple encouraging Bible verses. God said, call upon me in the day of trouble, I shall rescue you. God didn't say, I might, he said, I shall. So let's take advantage of that. Let's do it. Or how about this one? Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. We are righteous through Jesus Christ. God will never allow us to be shaken. God is saying, trust in me. Don't worry. I'm going to carry you through. Everything is going to be okay. So we have two choices in life. When we have the doctor wanting to see us about something like test results, we can think all these things tied to anxiety. We can think, oh, I have a bad family history. It must be serious. We could be like, oh, it seems like my vision has been blurry lately. I bet I have a brain tumor. You know, we can come up with all kinds of negative things, or we can be positive. We can trust in God, and we can look at the whole situation and say, wait a minute now. My health has been decent. I am a forgiven child of God. No matter what happens, it's going to be okay. Well, that reminds me of one of my members years ago. He was facing very serious surgery. I visited him in the hospital. As I'm going out the door, he said, don't worry, Pastor. Either way, it's going to be fine. What did he mean? So I went back in and we talked a little further, but he was saying, hey, if the surgery is successful, I'm going to be back in church. And if it's not successful, I'm going to be in heaven. So he had the exact right attitude. That's how God wants us to live. Another thing that's important on the topic of trust is when we are trusting God and we think there could be some bad news, what's important? Fill our minds with positive things. What's one way to do that is to grab our Bibles and look up every verse that we can think of that is a promise of God. Every promise is 100% guaranteed. God will do everything he has promised, and that will fill our minds with positive things, and that will get us going in the proper direction. The other thing that's important is that we focus only on the facts. So many things in life, we are guessing or we are assuming, and it is just not a good thing at all. That can lead us almost always in a wrong direction. Do you ever know of people that are assuming something better than that could be expected? They're always assuming something worse than could be expected, aren't they? God wants us to not do that. Focus on the facts. Trust in God. Know it's in his hands. It's going to be okay. Either way, it's going to be okay. It's also important to let God take charge. Have you ever had this situation where maybe, let's say, for example, your dryer at home, it's no longer heating. And maybe it needs a new heating coil or whatever if it's an electric dryer, but you really don't know how to fix it. So you call out the repairman. And you're probably paying him more than $100 just to come in the door. You show him where the dryer is. Now, do you have your work clothes on when he comes, and then you're going to help him fix the dryer? Probably not. You're thinking, I'm paying this guy a lot of money. I'm going to let him take care of it. I'm not going to bother him. So you have a problem. You put it in his hands, and you went and did something else. Why is it that when we have a problem, we take it to God, and then we're like leaning over his shoulder, and we're trying to help God fix the problem? Is that a good way to go about it? No, we should say, God, you are the ultimate repairman. You're the repairman of the universe. Here's my problem. I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to go and do something else. So we think about that old phrase from decades ago, let go and let God. Easier said than done, but very important when we have some kind of anxiety. Finally, I want to conclude in this way. It's important that we focus on the present. Think about the word anxiety. That's talking about someone who is divided. See, what's important is that we focus on the present, not on the past, not on the future, on the present. When we are anxious, that is because we are being pulled either into the past to some kind of a past issue, or we're being drawn into the future on some kind of a potential future issue. It happens to us all the time, but it's so important to remain in the present. So think about it like this. When we are grateful, when we are noticing our blessings, counting our blessings, giving thanks to God, that's a way to keep us focused on the present. I want to read one thing in the book here as I conclude. So the author wrote, I wouldn't call it a poem, but it's something dealing with the present versus the past and the future, and I thought it was well written. It goes like this. Today, I will live today. Yesterday has passed. Tomorrow is not yet. I'm left with today. So today, I will live today. Relive yesterday? No. I will learn from it. I will seek mercy for it. I will take joy in it, but I won't live in it. The sun has set on yesterday. The sun has yet to rise on tomorrow. Worry about the future? To what gain? It deserves a glance, nothing more. I can't change tomorrow until tomorrow. Today, I will live today. I will face today's challenges with today's strength. I will dance today's waltz with today's music. I will celebrate today's opportunities with today's hope. A lot of the things I shared today certainly are easier said than done, but it is important to live in the present. May God help us in that way. Let me conclude the series like this. So a truth, God does call us to be anxious for nothing. It says it right there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, and God tells us how to do that. Something relevant, understand that we have the secret for anxiety-free living. We live in a world today where almost everyone is anxious about something. We have the secret as to how to live anxiety-free. What is the secret? The secret is contained in God's holy word. A very important part of it is in Philippians chapter 4, but we have many, many other things in the Bible to give us every reason to live without anxiety and to live with God's great blessing of peace. And then finally, something inspirational. Let's understand that when we are calm, when we are living without anxiety, that's going to bring God glory, and that's going to be a blessing to others. Imagine if you were in a situation and you were with a group of people and everyone is anxious, very anxious, and yet here you are completely calm because you know that God is with you. You know that God's going to carry you through. You know everything is going to be okay. What a great blessing you or I could be to the other people in that situation. So a very practical thing for us, and also, again, bringing much glory to God. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, as I think about the series, we've touched on a number of things. I think they are important and pertinent for our lives, but it's easy to just let the series go by and not grab a hold of these tools and then put them in our toolboxes and then use them on a daily basis. Help us that we would make sure that we grab all the important things and then use them on a regular basis so that you are truly glorified, that we are blessed in our daily lives, and that you might even use us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.